Good morning.
Morning.
Good to see everyone. If you would open your Bibles to the book of Ruth. As we would like to consider this somewhat short book of Ruth, it comes with great meaning on different levels. When you consider the story of Ruth, you see, on one sense, it's a historical love story that's worth considering. We see as well a picture of redemption, as it brings great picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and his redemptive work on the cross of Calvary. And yet it's also a dispensational illustration, for it deals with both Jew and Gentile, as we see looking at the program of God. And so on these different levels, we have the story of Ruth before us, as the beginning of the book tells us. It's during the times of the days of the judges. If you recall the book before, the book of Judges, we find there in that time period the various cycles that Israel would go through, and how that the Lord would raise up judges at the appropriate time, and he would deliver them and show them his power and his sustaining leading. And yet we find in this time period a story of a family. Certain leading characters come before us. We see in this story there would be, of course, Ruth, her mother-in-law Naomi, and a man later introduced named Boaz. These being the three primary characters of the story of Ruth. It's been said even though it's called Ruth, Naomi is found in each of the chapters, and we find a very clear emphasis upon Naomi in her life through this story. And yet, as we see these three main characters, we're reminded of a Jew, a Gentile, and a picture of Christ. We see this one, Naomi, of course, being a Jewish, and then her daughter-in-law, Ruth, being a Gentile, and then Boaz, as we see him introduced in chapter 2, we find a picture of Christ. Christ is our Redeemer, our kinsman Redeemer. And so as the story opens, we find one that is a bit sour. We find one that is seeking, and yet later in the story, there's one willing to save. We find the story opening up, if you would please, also with a man briefly mentioned named Elimelech. And this man, during a time of famine, he decides to take his family and to leave a certain place, the place of Bethlehem, which means the house of bread. And so it's rich in meaning when you think about the place Bethlehem, the place the Lord Jesus was born in, prophesied even in the Old Testament, that place Bethlehem, the house of bread is what the name means. And yet this book is full of things concerning provision and bread. You'll see that later on it will be barley harvest when they have a return back to Israel. We will see the place Bethlehem being very significant, and various other references to bread and provision in this book. But first of all, Elimelech. We see that a time of famine is in the land, and yet during his difficult time, he decides to leave. He decides to go down to a place called Moab. And yet the story continues, and it faces great difficulty. You would think leaving because of famine, you would find something positive. You would go and find relief. Well, he may have on a temporary basis. But it brings to us a principle to bear. That when things are difficult, does that mean we automatically decide to move and to leave the place where we're at? Not so much physically speaking, it might be physically, but in a spiritual sense, do we just move away from what we know because things are difficult? You see, this man Elimelech, being a Jew, he should have realized the importance of staying in the land where he had been called to be. And he was in a place called Bethlehem. Yet times were tough. There was a famine in the land. And so we find this man Elimelech, he leaves, and he goes to a place outside of the land, as it were, outside of Israel. We pick up and notice there in verse 1, came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of the wife Naomi. And the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephratites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died, also both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. And so we find that here is this one Naomi. Her husband had taken her away to a place outside of Bethlehem, meaning well perhaps in a time of famine, but now we find her far away from home. No husband, no sons. She has her two daughter-in-laws, and yet they were not Jewish. They were not from Israel. They had not been brought up to know the God of Israel as far as from their birth. And so what do we find in verse 6? Then she arose with her daughter-in-laws, and that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard the country of Moab, how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return in the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. They said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that ye may have your husband? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. For if I should say I have hope, if I should say I have a husband also in night, tonight, should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye be stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. So they're offering to go and be with her, but yet she's saying, you know, practically speaking, why don't you just stay here? Stay in the land that you know as I go back. And yet we see a distinction between Orpah and Ruth in verse 14 and 15. It's very telling. And yet it's a great spiritual principle here. It's an illustration of the gospel. There was a choice being made. On one hand, Orpah, as they wept, kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. But Ruth clave unto her. What a distinction in the gospel. We're all confronted with the good news of the gospel as we stand before a holy and righteous God. And God's word tells us and his spirit convicts us that we're lost sinners before a holy, righteous God. We must decide, will we follow the Lord Jesus? Will we trust in him? Or will we say thanks but no thanks? In one sense, we see a story here unfolding. Who will follow and trust in the redemptive work of the God of Israel? We see Orpah would kiss her mother-in-law goodbye. She took the offer. Yeah, I'll stay here. But Ruth looked beyond that. Ruth clave to her mother-in-law. And so as we read in verse 15, she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and to her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. You see, Ruth said, I will go, I will be committed, and your God will be my God. What a difference. Orpah kissed that opportunity goodbye, but Ruth clave unto Naomi. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ today? You've heard the good news. You've heard the message of the gospel time and again. But have you, in a sense, just kissed that opportunity goodbye and said, no, that's not for me? Or have you received the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and clave to the truth of the gospel, the good news? Well, we find here as we continue in this story that they would return, or Naomi would return, taking Ruth with her back to the place of Bethlehem. And so in verse 19, so they too went unto them, and they came to Bethlehem. Again, this name means the house of bread. Places and names in the Old Testament are full and rich of meaning. Bethlehem, the house of bread, the place the Lord Jesus was born. Remember how the great I Ams of the book of John, when the Lord Jesus would say things such as, I am the bread of life. And he would speak about through him, there we have the spiritual sustenance that we need. We're to appropriate him. We're to receive him. The great story of John chapter 6, when he said, I am the bread of life. So yes, they're going back to this place of Bethlehem. Yet notice the attitude of this one, the emotions that are spilling out from Naomi. And they came to, it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? And remember, it's been 10 years before her sons had died. And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara. You see, Mara carries the meaning of bitter. Bitterness. Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. You see, she explains. In verse 20 continues, for the Almighty, that is, the All-Sufficient One, the El Shaddai, hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So, we see here the heart of Naomi. In one sense, she's admitting, you know, things have gone bad for me. And I'm kind of bitter. And you know, this is just my plot in life, it seems. The Lord, even though she's bitter, she still refers to God as the Almighty. She's still holding on to the fact that she knows who God is. He's the Almighty. But right now, I'm bitter. Things are hard for me. And yet, as we continue on, we notice there in verse 22, so Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Here, once again, provision. The mention of bread. It's barley harvest. So we find this one, Naomi, coming back in a sense of an attitude of humbleness. She's coming back to the right place, the house of bread, Bethlehem. And she's coming back at the right time, the time of barley harvest. Remember, when she left with Elimelech, she left when it was a time of famine. But now she's back in this time of provision. So we come to chapter 2, and in chapter 2 we're introduced to this third main character, a man named Boaz. You see, this man, we read about him, and he's a man of great ability, of wealth. He's a man, we see later on, the question will be, is he willing to reach out and help others? He has the ability, is he willing? He's a man of grace and kindness and mercy, we'll see that in chapter 2, and we see he's a man from the right place, from Bethlehem. You see, we come to chapter 2, and verse 1 tells us that Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. You see, this is a near kinsman to her husband Elimelech. This is a relative, this man Boaz. And so Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was, it so happened to be, that she was to light on a part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was a kindred of Elimelech. You see, this time period, there was a provision that was made for people that were in need. You could go back and read, such as in Deuteronomy, and it would talk about there in Leviticus, about how that when there were those that were strangers, those that were poor, those that were widows, they could come and they could glean the corners of the field, and they could take that which was maybe left over, that they might have some type of provision. So here's this one Ruth, the one had cleaved, she was cleaving to Naomi. She didn't stay back in Moab. She says, I'm here with you. Your people are my people. Your God is my God. Let me go out. Let me go out and work in the fields. Let me bring something back. And so as she did this, we find in verse 4, behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto the servant that sat over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitess damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from morning until now that she tarry a little in the house. And so Naomi has sent Ruth or allowed her to go, and Ruth is in the field. And this one, Boaz, notices her. There's something about her. Who is this that's in my field? And as you go on to the next several verses, you'll see that Boaz sees things about this one Ruth that stands out. You know, when we think about it, as we have sons or grandsons or what have you, we should desire, if we know the Lord Jesus, that they grow up and that they find a wife that would be diligent and faithful and someone that would honor the Lord. Boaz has noticed Ruth. He's heard a little bit about her story, about how she didn't stay in Moab. She could have done that with her sister-in-law, but she chose to come back to Bethlehem. So we read on in verse 8, then Boaz said unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, and abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that thou do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go into the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I'm a stranger? You see, I'm a Moabitess. Why are you being so gracious and kind to me? Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been shown unto me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. You see, he had understood that there's been a change in this woman, Ruth. She's come to trust in the God of Israel. You're welcome in my field. I see how faithful and diligent you are toward your mother-in-law, Naomi. Yes, he had displayed grace and kindness to her. And it was really, in a sense, Ruth seems to be taken back by this. And Boaz, verse 14, said unto her, at mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed. And left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not, and let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. Make sure she has what she needs. Let a little extra be there even. Show kindness. He's giving word to those that work for him. And so as she gleaned in the field until even, and she took what she needed, and she found that which was sufficient. We're beginning to see a man named Boaz showing grace both to a Jew and a Gentile, both to Naomi, a near kinsman through her deceased husband, and through this Moabitess, a Gentile named Ruth. What a picture. Again, we see how the Lord Jesus Christ, whether we're born a Jew or a Gentile, He shows His mercy and His grace and His love to us. So as the story continues, verse 20, Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and the dead." And Naomi said unto her, "The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen." And Ruth the Moabitess said, "He said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest." And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field." So she kept fast by maidens, the maidens of the Boaz, to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dealt with her and dwelt with her mother-in-law. This one, Naomi, can you imagine how excited she must be? "Oh, you mean it's Elimelech? You've met Elimelech, and now we're seeing his mercy and grace upon us, and we have provision that we need." We come into chapter 3, and we again think of the context of in the days of Israel, how there were certain provisions made. And you again can go back in the book of Deuteronomy and read in those chapters 23, 24, 25. And it talks about some of these provisions made. Not only how ones could go when they were in need and those that were poor and glean in the field, but also it would talk about what would happen if a woman became a widow. How would she have provision? How would she be cared for? Well, back in Deuteronomy, it would talk about things such as in chapter 25, the duty of a husband's brother. You see, if a man died and there was a brother that would be able to step in and marry his widow, then they could carry that name on and there would be a provision there for that family. And so this being known in the land of Israel, and Naomi surely would know about this, and she knows about this man Elimelech, can you imagine how excited she might be at this point? But Ruth is a Moabitess. What would this man Boaz be willing to do with someone that was a Gentile? And of course, back in those days, there was a distinction made between whether you were born in Israel, a Jew, or whether you were a Gentile from the other nations. Because if you weren't a Jew, then generally you followed pagan gods. Generally, you were not following the God of Israel if you were a Gentile. And so that was a concern. But Boaz has already seen that Ruth has turned to the God of Israel. And so when we find chapter 3 opening up before us, we see how Naomi, her mother-in-law, tells her this. She says, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee that may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winneth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself therefore, and anoint thee, and put on thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down the floor, and make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. It shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet, and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do." She said unto her, "All that thou sayest unto me, I will do." And so we find that she goes in and finds this one, and yet we need to be clear, there's not anything inappropriate going to happen at this point. She's going, and as you find in other places in the Old Testament, there was a bit of a ceremony or a ritual, you might say, that as we read later on in verse 9, how that they would speak of spreading their skirt out. And as you read in Ezekiel, that is spoken of is almost like a ceremonial type thing, like a covenant's being made, like an agreement's being made. You see, there's a possibility here that this man Boaz would be willing to redeem the family of Elimelech. And so we find that she does as her mother-in-law tells her, and she goes to him. In verse 8, "It came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, "Who art thou?" She answered, "I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, and thou art a near kinsman." And he said, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman unto thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman unto thee, as the Lord liveth. Lie down unto the morning." And she laid his feet into the morning, and she rose up before one could know another. And she said, "Let it not be known that a woman came in unto the floor." And he said, "Bring the veil that thou hast upon thee, and hold it." And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her, and she went into the city. Once again, he's displaying grace and mercy and provision for her and Naomi as he sends her away. They want to be careful. They don't want people to gossip. "Oh, why was this woman here?" And so just quietly go away. But he sends provision back to Naomi. And yet he's brought up an interesting point here. There's someone else that could really step in before me. We need to see what happens. Are they willing to perform the duty of a husband's brother? Well, back in that text in Deuteronomy 25, when it explains that situation of how a man could step in for his deceased brother, it talks about if he's not willing to perform the duty of a husband's brother, then she could go up to him before witnesses, take off his shoe, and spit in his face because he would not be willing to carry on that honor. So these things were all kind of in the background of what was going on. And we notice then at the end of chapter 3, verse 16, when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "Who art thou, my daughter?" And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, "These 6 measures of barley gave he me. For he said to me, 'Go not empty unto thy mother-in-law.'" Then she said, "Sit still, my daughter, until thou shalt know the matter will fall. For the man will not rest until he has finished the thing this day." Just be still. Just rest. Just let Boaz carry this thing out to his end. You know, in a sense, that's a reminder of the gospel. We come empty-handed to our Redeemer. We can't do anything to redeem ourselves. We are unfit, lost sinners before a holy, righteous God. We can't earn salvation. We can't work our way to heaven. You see, that's just religion. The religions of the world are always saying, do this, do that, go through this ritual or what have you, and hope that you will appease the God in heaven. But the truth of salvation is, Christ has done it all. And we are to rest in the finished work of Christ. He died for you and me. With empty hands we come and receive the gift of eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the picture can be seen here. Boaz is a kinsman redeemer. He's willing to redeem, it appears. And yet Naomi says, "Ruth, you just sit still. There's nothing you can do. It's up to Boaz." Have you come to that place in your life when you have just said, "I can't save myself. I'm a sinner, lost and undone. Without Christ, it's all Him. He died for me." Receiving a gift is what we are asked to do. Receive the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us and paid for our sins. So the story continues. In chapter 4, we come to the last chapter. And as we notice here, there's a bit of business that Boaz has to tend to. He has to go before the gate. A lot of the business would be done at the gate of the city, and the elders of the city or the men of the city would come together, and things that could be addressed would be brought to bear. And so he says here, Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down. He turned aside and sat down. He took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit ye down here. And they sat down. And he said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that has come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which is our brother Elimelech's. You see, there was another Old Testament provision of how you could redeem land. And Leviticus talks about that. And so there was a land issue, and then there was the fact about a widow. Verse 4, and I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know. For there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee. He's telling this other guy, look, you have the first right here. You can step in, and you can be the redeemer, and you can redeem Naomi, as it were. But tell me if you're not willing. I'm willing to step in. Verse 5, then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing for confirm all things. A man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. Verse 8, therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. Yeah, I just can't do it. You know, it's going to mess up my inheritance. I'll just have to pass, take the shoe off. Let's just do this thing. But this man Boaz is now in line. And the question comes to bear, is Boaz willing to redeem Naomi and Ruth and their situation and to stand in for that one Elimelech that has died? And so we think of the Lord Jesus. He is pictured by Boaz here, a man of wealth, a man that has great ability, a man that has strength and wealth and honor. The Lord Jesus is pictured in this. He has the ability to save. Is he willing? And we know from the Word of God that he did the Father's perfect will. He was so willing to come down to this place and to bear the torments of his own creation upon him as they spat upon him, plucked his beard, mocked him, and nailed him to a cross. Yes, he was so willing. And so we go back to the story, and here is Boaz. And we find in verse 9, Boaz said unto the elders and all the people, hear witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, and the name of the dead be not cut off from among the brethren and from the gate of his place. Your witnesses this day, and all the people that were at the gate, and the elders said, we are witnesses. And so we find here that as the story continues, and we find the joy and the rejoicing that may have come to that home. The Lord make the women which is come into thine house like Rachel and Leah. Thinking back to those back in the days of the patriarchs in Genesis. Which two did build the house of Israel, and do thou worthily in Ephratah, and be famous in Bethlehem. Proclaim, be famous in Israel. And you know, when you begin to look at what happened following this story, it ties in with the coming of the Messiah. You see the genealogy of the Lord Jesus comes through this line. You see the end of the book. You see it gives the generations to follow. Because we find this one Ruth would have a child with Boaz. And in verse 18, 19, it tells of these generations. It mentions these names. In verse 21, and Salmon begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. That's King David, the one whose heart was after God, the one whom is a reminder of the coming King, the Lord Jesus. And David was that kingly line that led to the Messiah that we read about in the Gospels, the Lord Jesus. So we find here is this one Ruth, a Gentile, now involved in the genealogy of Christ. Here is Boaz, a great picture of Christ. And they have this child named Obed. And then there's Jesse. Remember, Jesse had all those sons. One of them, the youngest, became King David of Israel. Wonderful story as you look at a love story. You look at a story that also teaches us about dispensational truths. That is, talking about what God's plan is for both Jew and Gentile. But also, it's a wonderful gospel story. This story about a kinsman redeemer. This one was willing to step in and provide and save that family, practically speaking. And yes, a picture of what happens to us spiritually if we bow to the Lord Jesus. He is our kinsman redeemer. He has purchased us. He has bought us. He has paid for our sins. Do you know the Lord Jesus? Do you know Him as your kinsman redeemer? He became a man that He might die for you and me. The eternal Son of God left the realms of glory, came in humble fashion as a man, as a servant, and He came, as it were, in humility. He's our kinsman redeemer. He didn't come to die for animals or plants. He came to die for mankind. He became a man. He was veiled in the flesh while He was here. And yet, now we know the Scripture tells us that He'll come again. He'll come in the clouds to take the church to be with Him. But then He'll later on literally come, put His feet on the ground after all the prophecy is fulfilled. He will put His feet on the ground. But that time, when He comes back to establish His 1,000-year reign, He won't come in humility that time like He did at the cross. That time, He'll come with power and great glory. Today is the day of salvation. We need to know Him today. For the Bible tells us this, that it's appointed unto man once to die, after this the judgment. If you're a believer, you'll stand before Him at the Bema Seat judgment, which is for the believer. You see, that judgment doesn't deal with our sin because that was dealt with at the cross. But if you're a lost person, when you die, you'll go before a different judgment. That's called the Great White Throne Judgment, the place of purity. That pure one that the lost will stand before, and they will be cast into the lake of fire because they had rejected the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. So do you know Him today? I pray we'll be encouraged over the reminder of truths about the Lord Jesus and His work and His gospel through this love story of the book of Ruth. With that, let's look to the Lord in prayer.